Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post and Roundtree7.com. And myself, Gwen Berry. I'm a contributor too over at Roundtree7.com. And both of us are helping to support and create an activist, radical, liberal, progressive network called the Commons Project Network. So please remember those call signals when you think of us. I'm going to play a little ditty for you, and then Jack and I will get to our conversation for today. And that's Daft Punk, Get Lucky. Of course, it's a long song, so I'm cutting it short. How you doing this week, Jack?
I'm doing great, Gwen, and I hope and trust you are, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a quiet week, and I know you've been doing some pick-me-up on what you've been what you've been lagging behind on because of your illness.
Yeah, I've been pedaling double time, and
still
am. I will be for another few days, and then hopefully I'll have to just get slamming again.
Yeah, well,
that's called business.
Well, you know, it keeps you healthy, that doing that, you know.
So it does. It absolutely does. What was your major topic this week over at Saturday Afternoon Post?
Well, I've just begun a new post, but it isn't out yet. It'll be out a couple of days from now. But I just celebrated the retirement of Michelle Bachmann and the impending disaster that is facing that terrible, constipated old man, Mitch McConnell. Looks like he's in trouble. He's in trouble in Kentucky, and it's about time. God, he's been in the Senate since the election of 84. That's way too long for a guy that's done absolutely nothing for the benefit of the people.
Yeah,
now he's the king of obstruction.
Yeah,
now he's just the king of obstruction, and I can't wait till he gets beat, as I think he will. There's a good chance that a local Democrat there, who's from a predominantly or long-time Democratic family in Kentucky, might step up to the plate and might challenge him, and may even prove more successful in her efforts than the short-lived venture by the Judd
Winona. It was her sister. The mother's Naomi. The sister's Ashley.
Oh, Ashley Judd. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And,
yeah,
and really, she's a very clever young lady, and I think her heart's in the right place. And she has wonderful scruples.
Right.
If you know, on the outward, on the sleeve that you can see, and
right,
she's done her very best with certain, you know, women's organizations, equality. Mm-hmm. She's certainly spoken up against or for human rights and against anything that, you know, would jeopardize human rights. She has a really lovely persona for the whole thing. But she was told by the Old Boys League that she didn't have the bona fides as a politician to get the support of the Democratic Party, which is, of course, corporately dictated and corporately owned. So,
well,
she
even beyond that, she had the stigma, at least among Kentucky voters, of being a quote-unquote Hollywood liberal. So, you know, all you have to do is be tarred with something like that, and you're dead in Kentucky. Because
Well, you know, they say things like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
They say
exactly.
things like that. They said a lot of things about the state of Florida and the voters here as far as Barack Obama's first election. And we proved them wrong about that. And
right,
I think that they're probably wrong about Kentuckians and women, especially in Kentucky.
Well, it's a moot point right now because Ms. Judd won't be running. But
right,
there's
I forget
her name now. There's another lady that is from a long-time, well-established Kentucky Democratic family, and she's currently the current. She's right now the Secretary of State for the state of Kentucky. And I forget her name. Grimes.
Another cog in the wheels of the great machine that runs on and needs to get broken. You know, just saying from my point of view, you know, with the lady in your state, well, and I use the term loosely, giving herself retirement.
Good.
I don't know if you caught it, but there was an article online about a polling that was done in the last couple of weeks, week, and it shows that Americans think that, especially women, think that Michelle Bachmann, outside of her, you know, constabulary there, that most people think that Michelle Bachmann is a very backwards, deceptive, deceitful woman.
She's a massive liar.
Yeah. But she kept getting reelected.
Well, you know, that's
folks in her territory.
Due to gerrymandering. I mean, you can't.
What
the Republicans have done, every time they've controlled a state legislature at the proper time, they've ended up gerrymandering the place so that each state, so that the districts are overwhelmingly, predominantly pro-Republican. They've drawn them in such crazy ways, that, you know, zigzag and everything else to guarantee the highest Republican voter turnout. And, you know, that's what's kept Michelle Bachmann alive. And it almost didn't work the last time because the last redistricting, it cut into her Republican numbers in that district, and it introduced some more Democratic counties. So that's why she almost got beat. And this time, I don't know what's going to happen. The guy that was going to oppose her and has good name recognition has already pulled out. He said, "If Bachmann's not in, I'm not in either." So it'll probably stay in Republican hands. But you know, with corporate Democrats being the way they are these days, you know, what's the difference? Just only in numbers, it's better to have a blue dog Democrat than it is to have a Republican because. You know, just only because of numbers. And if Republicans control the numbers, that's where they're deadly. But if
that's my point about
Mitch McConnell. You know, even if he's replaced by a blue dog, that's infinitely more preferable than having that son of a bitch continue in office.
Well, yes, but will there be any difference in the political demonstration, the leadership quality, the what's being done, who's being paid by who? So what's the better the devil you know or the devil you don't? I don't know. I think that the machine
We already
is
know that
so
devil.
Broken.
He's pretty devilish.
Yeah. The machine is so broken, and it is a machine.
It is. It's bad.
And it needs to be replaced with people who give a damn about humanity, that can get on the right side of history,
Exactly. Well, it needs to get some real people in Congress. You know, Congress is loaded overwhelmingly with lawyers and professional people. And, you know, when is the last time a hairdresser got elected to Congress? It hasn't happened.
When was the last time
a truck driver got elected to Congress? It hasn't happened. Now, granted, some of these people might not belong there, but, you know, it just shows how starkly it's divided against regular people, regular common working people, because there's very, very, very few of them representing us.
Well, and you can argue, too, when people say, well, you can't put anyone who doesn't know the professional walkways and how to work politics and how it works. Well, most of the people they sent there as, what do they call them, Tea Partiers? Don't tread on me crowd. Mm-hmm. None of them know anything about how the American government works. I know more because I had family there, and I politicked as a child, or a teenager. You know, I learned more about it than most of them. Hell, I knew more than Michelle Bachmann did about how her own office was supposed to work. And
wouldn't be hard.
These guys, they have the most wonderful opportunity. My Uncle Frank taught me, said, you see these kids over here, and this is when they were putting together the EPA. They had all these kids out at the lake in the summer that were putting together all the articles of the EPA, and some were Democrat and some were Republican, but they were college kids. They were interns, Jack, and they were the best. And the brightest, because the best and the brightest wanted to go to politics, you know?
Right, exactly,
A lot of them had, you know, probably stardust in their eyes or money signs in their eyes, but they were the best and the brightest. And the politicians knew how to use them to keep them sharp, to keep themselves sharp. That has not been going on, man. That hasn't been going on. They called Teddy Kennedy the lion of the Senate. But Teddy Kennedy is one of those old time boys that knew about that used
his staff very well.
He wouldn't have enough moments in the day to come up with all the brightness that he did. He depended on kids coming to him who were in school or getting out of school to spend some years in his offices at minimum pay wage. And for the greater glory of, you know, leading people, let's not call it politics. Mm-hmm. Let's quit calling it politics. Let's call it public service. Public service. Jack, it seems as though folks don't understand that, you know, what they're supposed to be doing is finding the best solutions to the crises or the problems that we have, and to keep the communities connected to a central hub that is there to help them lead whenever things
are... One of the big problems that we've encountered is that these interns, these very good interns, have all but disappeared, and they've been replaced by a network of special interest lobbyists. Mm-hmm. I mean, for God's sake, special interest lobbyists are now writing bills and just submitting them like blank checks to Congress. And Congress, a lot of times they don't even read them. They just go ahead and put them up with their name on it for passage. It's crazy.
It certainly is. I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what's happened. Lobbyists have replaced the interns.
The good thing about the public service oriented interns of the old days was that they were dedicated to public service. They were idealistic. They were taken at an early age, and they did their homework, and they did it thoroughly, and they did all the investigation for the congressman or the senator, and he could bank on the information that they dug up for him. And for her, whatever the case may be. And, you know, as a result, we got much better bills. We got much more intelligent legislation instead of this Tea Party infested crap we got now and special interest painted.
Who are easily bought and don't know any better. Even even the ones who go in and try to swim against stream and learn and grow in the office seem to fall prey to the predatory elder statesmen there who convince them that to go along is to get along, and that's how they'll stay and make a difference ultimately, and that gets the wool pulled right down over their eyes. Mm-hmm. So it's a cynical way of looking at things. I don't like to look
but
at things
realistic.
That way. Well, we were going to make ourselves a promise at the new year to look at the positive angles. You know what it is? It's about finding solutions. And there has to be folks that are interested in leadership, that are interested
For the public's benefit, not for their own individual benefit, or for the benefit of big companies.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with
you. It's got to be more purely focused instead of this same old, oh, I'll take the easy way out and get $1 million payment for it.
Well, and it's funny how little they get paid, too, sometimes. I heard I think, in the news this past week about a congressman whose vote got bought for $1,000 to his re-election campaign. $1,000.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well,
I mean,
you know, the elections are so dictated by money and by contributions. With the input of corporation money, it's really gotten bad, and that's going to continue for some time, unfortunately. And it makes them very susceptible to getting bought out because they need the money to stay in office.
Yeah, it's quite true.
That's disgusting. It's got to be turned around.
Well, and now they want to complete the whole thing with technocratic imperialism. They want to control what we're doing, you and I, right now on the air. They want to control the internet. Of course.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, the higher ups on the food chain of big money, or the one percenters.
Uh-huh.
Already see the downfall of that, because frankly you can't put a cap on the internet like that and expect commerce to run the way it has.
Uh-huh.
And there is it's really startling how many folks don't realize how much of the economy of the globe runs off the internet.
Oh yes. It's amazing. You know, it's totally changed retail nature of retail in this country.
Well, yes, it really has. But you know, for what we call bricks and mortar, the store on the main street, their complement is their website. People will look for it, and how they present their website and the pictures of their store and what is available to them is how people make up their minds whether or not they're going to shop. There's still a lot of folks out in this country and other countries that don't have that ability. There's a lot of folks without internet, but it is the goal of most leadership globally to get internet into every home.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, every year more and more people get it in this country and in other countries as well. And it eventually will become the, if it hasn't already, it will become the dominating way to purchase goods.
It could be, but I don't know. I think where our environmental and human health is leading us towards local sustainability because of and then technologically we have the ability from local sustainability to do global trade. So there's a lot to what you're saying, but we really do have to go back to a local sustainability, because, and that would include people creating and growing their own food and eating locally, and permaculture being instituted. And people are just doing this. Communities are doing this all over the world. Simply because I think the larger portion is because people are too broke to buy good groceries.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, that brings up another question, the question of wealth disparity. You know, we used to have a very prosperous middle class, and they had aspirations of getting into the upper class. That has all been destroyed. The middle class is shrinking. It's being undercut. It's being destroyed by the upper class. And for what purpose? You know, when you rob people of enough
profit.
Money to buy things, they're not going to buy things anymore. And the profits are going to disappear. The sales are going to disappear. They're already starting to happen. And they wonder why the recovery is taking so long. It's because the middle class doesn't have any money to pay for stuff anymore. You know, it's got to change. We've got to start doing policies, business policies and economic policies that are more middle class favorable. Taxation is another area where a lot could be done. The rich screamed like mad over a 4.6% increase in their taxes. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of that won't even be paid because a lot of it will be gobbled up in loopholes. But, you know, we've got to, and little by little, ever since we were little children, they have gradually shifted the corporate tax onto average taxpayers. They've shifted away from corporations onto average taxpayers, and as that situation has occurred, it's created a burden for the middle class, and they're you know, they can talk all they want about tax cuts, and we need tax cuts, and government waste, and all that stuff. Yes, the government does waste some money, but a lot of that government waste could be channeled in the proper direction, like into jobs programs, work programs to create better bridges, better roads. It was done during the New Deal. It was done roaringly good. The economy started really picking up steam in the midst of the worst economic crisis we had ever encountered. And had it not been for a temporary setback in 1937, and the onset of World War II, which forced the government to spend even more money than it was spending beforehand, you know, it would have done, the New Deal would have done the job and would have lifted us out of the Depression. I'm convinced of it. And nobody's going to be able to convince me otherwise.
Well, the thing is, though, our national export is war. That's all
there right
is
now. It is
anymore.
Yeah.
Is war. Almost everything,
yep.
Everything, every large corporation is profiting from either war, pharmaceuticals,
all
of the major nasties. Monsanto is destroying our food, our food chain, and poisoning the earth. I mean, we're in a real planetary
schizophrenia. Overcome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real schizophrenia. So you can make the choice. I mean, I think you and I and most of the folks we know have made a choice to look for the positive, to open our mouths and say, hey, listen, these are the facts we know. This is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like the guy at, you know, hanging at BlackRock, you know. The guy sitting on the horse, I think it was Fonda, played him and said, hey, listen, you people know this is wrong, you know. You don't just hang somebody out. And it's quite true. There are lots of folks saying, hey, this is wrong, but more need to. It's not that you need to have folks in the street so much as you have to have folks that are listening. And people are so pressed to crack that nut every week or every month so that they can go on surviving and providing for their home and family, or even just people who are, you know, single that are trying to survive. It seems that there's just too much survival mode going on instead of living.
I'll tell you, in the old days, you used to have a choice of, what am I going to do this summer? Am I going to go here? Am I going to do that? No, you don't have that choice anymore. Your choice today is, I can't quit this job even though I want to, even though it's dead end, because I need it for money to buy my food and to pay my rent. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and we need to overcome that, and we need to overcome that big time.
We do, and it is. I said we can't lay down on the job and say it's somebody else's.
No.
It's somebody else's job to figure that out for us because it's not working.
It's everybody's job.
It is, and part of it is to be knowledgeable, know what's going on, and
yeah.
Why.
And I would recommend to anybody out there that enjoys playing, only uses a computer to play video games, or to send stupid emails that are jokes and stuff like that, I would advise you people to get smart and start using the internet for information gathering purposes. The more you know, the less you're going to be able to be buffaloed. And there's a lot of buffaloing going on out there, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. But people have got to get a clue, and they've got to quit being brainwashed by this entertainment aspect of the internet and television and everything else. They've got to get serious and really dig into what's happening, not only here in this state or in your own county and city. You've got to do it in throughout the world.
And
you've
got to
know what's happening.
And that's why activism is so important.
Yes, it is.
People... except for this, look at how much real action was created by the Occupy movement. There was a great deal of it, but how much of it was really reported by the mainstream media?
Very little.
And
you know, it was reported in the beginning like it was some kind of event and like some kind of happening, and they didn't get into the nuts and bolts of the argument. Very little they did. And then after a while, they started portraying them as kooks and everything else, which we all knew was a bunch of malarkey. But, you know, enough people got the message early on, and that was a tremendous movement. And like all movements, it has a crest, and then it has it recedes. And it's receding now, but it is and it isn't. I mean, on certain aspects
well, not
of
really.
It, it's created activism, lifetime activists.
It depends on where you get your communication and information. Social networks are very active. They're active on
a
global way. And this is a constant conversation that's going on between millions of people that are separated only by landmass. Every day of the week, 24/7, there's somebody on Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr or... I mean, and these social networks, the importance and the value of them cannot be understated, I don't think.
Oh, they've got to be popularized in such a way that they aren't just things for grandma to send a picture of the baby or send a picture of the baby to grandma with. You know, that's silly.
Well,
they got to use things intelligently.
Well, Jack, if you were, you really need to look over there because. There are people that are getting together, and this whole Monsanto movement that was global, and a lot of people, millions of people in cities all over the world attended rallies, and this was all done through Facebook pages and
that's
Twitter.
Very good. And right now, I think on the same level, I think Walmart employees are reaching out to one another, and they're planning a big march in 30 different cities, and they're going to end it in Bentonville itself, the headquarters of Walmart, and they're going to lay it on the line about what they need.
You think they'll be able to pull it off, first of all, and do you think that it'll make any difference?
It's hard to tell. You know, on the face of it, I'd say no. It's a futile effort, but I wouldn't want to disparage anybody from at least making a try.
Well, and they feel. I think that Walmart feels that you know they have the unmitigated brass to tell the world in commercials that 60% of United States citizens shop exclusively. At Walmart.
Well, and then they portray themselves as big helpers of education, and they show a single black fellow working in the store, and he's all optimistic, and I'm creating my own future here, and I'm rising the ladder, and I hope when people look at me, they look at a person that's doing well and getting better and all this stuff. We get quarterly bonuses. Yeah, his quarterly bonus wouldn't fill your tank of gas. What kind of crap are they feeding us, you know?
Well, that's the point. They're able to feed us whatever they want to.
Big lies.
Yeah.
Big bunch of bull. that's a terrible thing.
We are at the half-hour mark, and I want to take just a short break and give folks a moment to listen to a little tune. While we readjust here, we'll be right back, folks. Just a short break.
and she'll be there, but she never comes. And I'll wake up and wipe the sleep from my eyes, and I rise to spend another day without her. It's just no good anymore when you walk through the door of an empty room. You go inside and set a table for one. It's no fun when you have to spend the day without her. We burst the pretty balloon, took us to the moon. Such a beautiful thing, but it's ended now, and it sounds like a lie. I said I'd rather die than be without her. Love is a beautiful thing when it knows how to swing, and it grooves like a clock. But the hands on the clock tell the lovers to part, and it's breaking my heart to spend another day without her.
A musical interlude brought to you by RoundTreeSouthern.com.
I spend the night in a chair thinking she'll be there, but she never comes. I wake up and wipe the sleep from my eyes, and I rise to spend another day without her. Can't go on without her. There's no song without her. Can't go on without her.
And there we go, without her. One more time.
Very nice.
Break in the midness.
Yeah, on the subject of activism and music, I want to point out to our listeners that, if they're not aware of it, Mary Feeney, a longtime musical activist and protest songwriter and artist, she's been being treated for the last couple of years for small cell lung cancer, squamous cell lung cancer, and she is now in complete remission. And she is, if she hasn't already begun it, she will very shortly be doing some more touring, and will be playing around. I know one of the spots she's coming to is here in Minneapolis, where I am, and I will be very happy to see her later on this summer. So look up Mary Feeney in Google, and go to her website, and you'll be able to see tour information and everything else. If you're not familiar with her, she has written many, many, many songs that would appeal to progressives because they're justice oriented, they're equality oriented, they're fairness oriented. They're all the good things that we like to fight for and talk about. And she's at the helm of trying to spirit it ahead in her own way with her music. And she's very accomplished. She uses very good instrumentation, and she's quite a real barn burner, and she's very interesting to listen to. And she's had about 9 or 10 albums out, and you'd never know because she's not on a major label. I guess the major corporations aren't interested in her or her type of music. But she's done songs like Whatever Happened to the 8-Hour Day, and, she's done stuff against Monsanto.
She's a wobbly.
She's done all kinds of stuff. She's hot. Yeah, she is a wobbly. She's great. Yeah, and very interesting lady. And I'm going to try and get a hold of her and get her on this show because I know she has a lot to say, and she would be fascinating to interview. So we're going to try and do that. And at various times, I think we've played one or two of her songs some weeks back, and we'll do some more as time goes on too. And as we get closer to the kickoff of her tour, or as her tour gains some strength, we'll be featuring some more too, because she is a fascinating, very, very articulate writer as well.
Thank you, Jack, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I got to ask you. You were saying you've been drenched lately. We're getting it down here quite a bit, but I know that there's a storm system that has been hammering the hell out of the middle of the country.
Oklahoma's been getting destroyed. The poor people here. Poor David. I hope he's been okay. And
well,
I think he's
got an ear to your wishes because he's listening in right now. And
we of course
the Williams family out there in Claremore. Also my good buddy Steve in Oklahoma City, they got their asses sort of shook up, I guess. It's been the last couple of years, maybe if David writes that he's following the yellow brick road. Holy crap.
Well, they, you know, traditionally they have had
the house will land on, never mind.
Yeah, they're in the tornado belt along with northern Texas and in Oklahoma, Arkansas, and southern Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas. They all get hit with tornadoes every year. But it's been such an upsurge lately, and the storms have been so violent.
Well, I tell you, I'm an old hand when it comes to battening down the hatches for hurricanes. But
I have to
tell you that I feel like a complete, and you should pardon my French, pussy, when it comes to tornadoes. I have, I watched a twister, a funnel cloud, reach down out of the sky, in the distance west of me here in Florida one year when we were having crazy weather. I've been right next to water spouts, too. That's scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
right.
When you see a black funnel cloud coming down, and I pulled over like a lot of smart people did. I ran into a drainage ditch.
Yeah,
left the car running, door open, the whole dang thing. And it went by it wasn't even a quarter of a mile up the road, but you could hear it. You could hear.
Like a freight train.
There's no sound like it. I don't know really how to describe that, but I tell you, the folks in the tornado belt have my admiration for their tenacity and their sticking it out there because it just scares the hell out of me, those things.
Well,
they really, the awesomeness of Mother Nature, really.
You know, there's no safety in a car or a van or even a truck. They'll pick a tornado is strong enough to pick that vehicle up and just toss it, you know. And if you're on the inside, God help you. There's no way out.
Listen, David just posted in the chat room. I wish he'd call in and tell about it. He's been traveling down the highway, and a tornado flipped a car in front of him about 200 yards ahead of him. Honey, you know, it's like crazy spooks. I've been in a few places where people get restless between worlds, and I will be two counties gone if it gets too much. That's the kind of thing that makes me take a plane to, you know, Bermuda. It's like Sundance. I can't imagine for some reason Sundance the way those traditions, but in the nations, they pierce their skin.
Tornadoes are certainly something to beware, and they're very dangerous and they're very unhealthy for those that experience. I would add to that classification earthquakes. And I asked somebody one time, why do you live in California? It's so earthquake prone. And he told me, well, you know, it's better than those damn tornadoes. I'd hate to be picked up by one of those. You know, every area has its own natural disaster happening.
It's really quite true. Now, here on the east coast of Florida, we have down here on the southern tip, we have, not in the Keys, but between, I guess it's like around Cocoa or maybe it's lower in Sebastian, all the way down to Miami Featherbed Cut as you're going into the Keys there around Biscayne Bay, we have a series of reefs off the East Coast that tend to break storm surge or tidal waves down. So that they don't have the ability, of course, if you get anything like, you know, what you've seen in the movies, you're shut out of luck wherever you're sitting, honey. But we don't tend to quite get that kind of thing, tidal wave kind of action like you saw in Japan. No, we don't get that kind of thing, but we do get nasty wind and weather. And what is it? Is it like tornadoes made a deal with God that they would only hit trailer parks the first time that they touched down? I mean, mobile home communities have such a wow. I mean,
well, they're not really anchored down. That's why they're so susceptible to the wind.
We have a caller, 918 area code, and I recognize that blow.
Hello there. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi, hope
how
you're
guys
doing
doing?
Well. Good. How far were you from the horrible devastation?
Well, actually, I called in to tell you a tornado story.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Well, I was can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Texas coming back from a trip. I was driving, and right when I was getting pretty close to the border of Oklahoma, I was listening to the radio, and they were telling how there was some storms up there, you know, up towards central Oklahoma, you know, and they give the little warnings and stuff like that. And and so I go, well, you know, it was sort of crazy. I was sort of a little bored, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, race this storm and try to get where I turn. You know, I go up towards Oklahoma City, and I turn towards Tulsa. I'm going to race the storm, and I'm going to get past Oklahoma City before the storm gets there, and I'm going to make my turn right there on I-44 and go towards Tulsa. But, you know, I-44 is like the tornado corridor.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm racing, and I'm going pretty good, and it's getting pretty close. And so Morgan calls me and goes, "Oh, did you hear about all the storms?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get past this my turn point." And so I get closer and closer, and I might mention that I had stopped at McDonald's, and you know, whenever I eat McDonald's on the road, you know, I have like this 1 hour warning before I have to find some bathroom somewhere, okay? So, I know, you know, it's like a guilty pleasure. You know, I know not to eat it, but, you know. So anyway, I'm traveling all along, and, you know, I suddenly get like the 5 minute warning right as I'm getting to Oklahoma City. I go, oh, no, the storm's coming through, but I got to find a bathroom. And so by this time, it's getting really bad. I mean, it's starting to hail, and it's getting dark, and then rain and everything. And so I'm driving along, and I'm getting right to my exit on the turnpike where I go, and that's where I saw that car that flipped.
Oh, my God.
The one that I just put in the thing. And that's the time that it flipped. I go, oh, crap. It's like I did like a 180 and zinged across the highway and then went over. And by this time, I really had to use the bathroom, too. So I go, zing back, and I'm going up to the McDonald's. You know, there was another McDonald's, and I was going to go use the bathroom, you know, because there's always a McDonald's by the highway. And at the same time, all this wind and brush and debris and everything is like going across the highway. It's a, you know, it's like a sense of emergency. And so I go up off the exit, go up to McDonald's, and, you know, by this time my stomach's really growling, I got to make the bathroom. So I run into McDonald's, and there's nobody in McDonald's. I go, what the hell? So I run into the bathroom, and all the employees are in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
So go, oh, my gosh. What am I going to do? But anyway.
Oh, my. That's no, those tornadoes are very frightening. I can't imagine standing in front of my home. And because I've always been en route somewhere wherever I've seen one down here. But I understand that the tornadoes, and we get pretty serious ones, but nothing compared to what they get to be out on the plains there with you folks. Good Lord.
Yeah,
I
that
mean,
one in that.
Anything
that
that's a mile
more,
long and
yeah, and it was
20
F5.
Miles, that's bad. Yeah, that's
F5.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's real bad. That's like the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
they were. I was hearing some stories, you know, people that, you know, that sort of have stories that get passed back and forth. But one of the salespeople had come in, and he had made a trip up there to Oklahoma City afterwards, you know, because he makes a run of all the different places. And he was telling me that this one house, the wind was so bad, or the vacuum or something was so bad that it had taken the linoleum off the basement floor.
Wow.
It actually stripped the linoleum off the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you have ever tried to take linoleum off a floor.
Oh, God, I wouldn't even try
it,
man.
It's that old yellow paste that they used to use a thousand years
ago.
Yeah, I
mean, you've got to use like a wedge and a shovel.
Yeah.
But the fact that it would have wind and vacuum that would be so strong to take linoleum off the floor, it just boggles.
Well, you know, tornadoes, they do weird things like that. They showed on TV recently on one of the, I think the Moore disaster. I think what happened was some guy was standing outside of his partially destroyed home that got, you know, most of it was just devastated. But inside, there was one wall that was standing, and it had all these little children's CDs and stuff just sitting there untouched. They weren't even bothered at all by the horrible windstorm. And the tornado that raced through, for some crazy reason, that wall and all the CDs that were in a chest right by that wall.
Oh yeah, it'll do really strange things. Yeah, they were saying that this one guy, he had all the houses in the neighborhood that were completely totaled to the slab, but his brand new pickup was in the driveway and didn't have a single scratch. All these houses, including the one that was the driveway, the house in the driveway, was all completely totaled, but not even a single scratch from this truck.
How do people, that
truck is incredible.
David, how do people recover from that? I mean, does insurance cover this? Do people get, because I know there's a real mess going on in our state about coverage with hurricanes.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
usually with something like that, they'll have insurance teams that'll set up like they'll have some spot like a school or a church or something, and they'll set up almost like a camp. And some of the insurance companies will actually go to the houses and do estimates. But
that's good. They're earning their pay that way. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
a lot of them will actually give you like a living money or something, you know.
Yeah.
Some temporary money, but they really don't expect you to settle out as far as a house, you know, getting the insurance money for your house that was destroyed for 6 months. So you're sort of living in a temporary mode.
Oh, yeah.
Until then.
That's where FEMA comes in some cases, or other makeshift shelters that mostly the federal government offers. And thank God for that, because without that, people would have absolutely nothing. You know,
they would be
so it's better than nothing, but it's not much better, but it's better than nothing. That's for sure.
Yeah,
so,
but you know
what?
Yeah,
that's for the people that have insurance. You know, some of them I'm sure didn't.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. And those that don't, boy, God help them.
Can you imagine?
They're in a world of hurt.
If they have a mortgage, I would think they have to have it.
Pretty much,
But there's different degrees of it and stuff, too, that some people might be fully loaded with it. Other people might have just partial, and you know, it's not a guarantee for complete replacement.
Yeah, you don't get a complete replacement. You know,
you never do. Even
and especially if it's an older house.
Oh yeah.
You know, you just don't get what it takes to build it back.
And how can you replace the memories that are lost, like the old photos of old relatives or people like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a horrible thing to have to go through. And to
experience
those terrible
loss. Well, David, have you ever stood in your own front yard there in Claremore and seen a horrible storm like that approaching?
No, but, you know, I used to live in, growing up in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'd see tornadoes every once in a while dropping down out of the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Claremore, for some reason, seems to be like in a magic zone where they you know, knock on wood, don't seem to get hit with tornadoes.
Well, let's hope that continues.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I used to see them every once in a while when in my hometown of Bardsville. You know, that's up there towards a little bit north. You know, it's sort of almost a surreal thing. It's almost like a finger that just comes out of the cloud.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
A lot of times it's rain-wrapped, but if you get that rare time when it's, like, nice and sunny almost, but you have a dark cloud above, and you have this sort of finger coming down out of the cloud, you know, I could see back in maybe, like, the 14th century or something, think that that's, like, the finger of God or something.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Quite
yeah.
striking.
Because it came out of nowhere, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, droops.
That's
like a hand.
The only way I've ever seen it happen here in Florida. It's like a little black cloud fingery coming out of the clouds above, and then you realize as it grows, and it's like you blink and it's a twister.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's the most frightening thing I've ever seen.
David, where is Claremore in relation to Oklahoma City and Tulsa?
Well, Oklahoma City is like the central part of Oklahoma, and then
right.
if you start going
a little bit northeast,
you
get Tulsa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, northeast, and there's a highway between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. It's I-44, and for some
right.
reason, the tornadoes follow that highway almost to the letter. They follow that
uh-huh.
highway.
Wow!
And if you keep on going I-44, then it gets to Tulsa, and that's about 2.5 hours of drive.
Okay.
And then you go about another 45 minutes or so on the same I-44, you'll get to Claremore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a small little town. So.
Yeah, it's a miracle that you haven't experienced tornadic activity.
Yeah.
Ian, where you are, you're
so
close to the action there.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
you're several hours
right
north
there, sort
of
more
in those places that got clobbered, right?
Yeah, that's you see that if you get to western Oklahoma, it's pretty flat.
Right.
You know, the reason it had a dust bowl is because it was flat, you know. And,
right.
And, you know, of course you have trees for windbreaks and stuff, but, you know, you get this flat and you get these storms going across. There's nothing to break up that energy, and it just collects off the plains. And by the time it's all collected and concentrated, it's about Oklahoma City. So, you know, they really get hit all the time.
Yeah, holy cow. Well, it's too bad they have to experience that, but every year in some capacity they do, and you know, the people are very fortunate to have withstood what they have, but unfortunately sometimes there are deaths and destruction.
Has it been quiet since Friday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it rained a little bit, you know, but pretty much quiet. You know, hopefully the spring where like roars in like a lion and leaves like a lamb. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the lion part sort of going away. You know, I've heard people mention about why they don't have storm shelters in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the northern houses, you know, up towards the north there, they, you know, they have basements. There's not very many basement houses in Oklahoma City. And the reason for that is the soil. That, you know, it's got a lot of clay soil, and what happens is it shrinks and expands with water.
Oh,
it's really difficult for the builders. Yeah, it's difficult for the builders to make a basement house.
Oh, okay.
And so once you've established that, to dig a actual below ground shelter, you have to dig out further, you know, than you would for a house that has a basement. So it's really expensive.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, it would be, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Are there any cavernous areas? Well, not on those flatlands. Nah.
No. They sell a lot of those. They call them tornado shelters. It's like these little, almost like a closet that's made of steel.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll pour a big slab and anchor it to this slab. And, you know, it's like they call it a Frady room, too. You know, there was a Jodie Foster movie. I forget what the name of it was. But,
Panic Room.
Yeah, Panic Room. Yeah, it's like a Panic Room. And they're starting to sell more and more of those now where they'll, you know, because a lot of the actual harm is the debris that flies around. So if you can get into a room that can bounce off 2x4s and stuff,
exactly.
to breathe, then you're pretty good. There's not much you can do unless you go below ground for an F5.
Yeah, you get slammed in the head by one of those circling 2x4s that are just out floating around because of the wind. You're dead. You know, there's no
sands. Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. So.
But you know, for like I said, for an F5, there's pretty much not anything you can do except for be below ground. You know, if you can get some bunker or something, that's just way too much force.
Oh, it is.
How long has it been since there's been an F5 like that?
Let's see. There was one. Let's see. I think it was 2006. But there was one F5 that hit Stroud, Oklahoma, which is between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. It's a little town. They had this huge, you know, those outlet malls that you'll see along the highway?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has like a bunch of stores. Anyway, they had this tornado, and it hit that outlet mall, and it took all the stores down to the slab. All you saw was just debris and a big concrete slab. They never did rebuild it.
Yeah. Oh, my. What a horrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
boy, oh,
man.
Boy, oh, boy. You know, you've had
amazing
a number
amount
of F4s and F3s, though, too, and those are they're very destructive as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they have what they call, dust devils. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of those, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, maybe 60 or 80 mile winds and just a little sort of twirly dust devil thing, and we've had those around here. We had the top of a tree take it off, but but you know, nothing
they're
like
a force too, but they're much milder, of course.
Much milder. You know, they may take off some shingles or break a branch in a tree or something,
right?
You know,
gentlemen, I want to thank you so much. We're at the end of the show.
Lord,
time
flies.
Hey, thanks for dropping in and sharing with us, David. Really appreciate it. We wish you and all in the whole area safety and a lack of destruction. Good Lord.
All right, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Yes, and everybody keep looking forward. Keep pushing forward all week long. We need you, and the country needs you. The world needs forward action.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a good thought. It's a really good thought. Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post. Just Google him. Go on over and read what Jack has to say. Or check him out at Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com, who sponsors the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. And guys, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Gwen, and thank you too, David. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a great
week.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
That's our show for this week. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, David. And thank you, everyone who listened in. We certainly appreciate it. And don't forget, Roundtree7, the number 7.com, and DaughtersOfIsis.com. Check us out. We're the fragrant memories of your ancestors. Okay, that's it for this week.